Trump says the Iran war is very complete as Brent crude drops 10% and Bitcoin reclaims 69,000 10 days into the U.S.-Israeli military operation against Iran. President Donald Trump told CBS News in a phone interview that the conflict is nearly finished. "I think the war is very complete, pretty much," Trump said. "They have no navy, no communications, they've got no air force." Brent crude, which touched $119.50 earlier in the crisis, fell more than 10% to around $89 per barrel as of March 10, 2026. West Texas Intermediate dropped as much as 6% in the same session, hitting a low near $83.89 before recovering to approximately $85.44. Bitcoin responded immediately. The largest cryptocurrency by market cap rose 3.4% to 69,523 in New York trading, with Ether and Solana posting gains as well. As of the time of writing, BTC was trading at approximately $68,984, up nearly 4% on the day. The 10-day arc from $63,000 to $69,500. The timeline matters for understanding this rally. On February 28th, U.S. and Israeli forces launched coordinated strikes against Iran. Bitcoin crashed from roughly $67,000 to $63,000 within hours, with $209 million in long positions liquidated. Over the following week, oil surged past $100, then $110, and briefly touched $119.50 as the Strait of Hormuz, the choke point for roughly 20% of the world's daily oil supply, saw shipping traffic collapse by 95%. Each escalation leg hammered risk assets. The KOSPI triggered a circuit breaker after falling 7% in a single session, erasing $270 billion. Bitcoin slid to a 7-day low. Gold ETFs absorbed $16 billion in inflows as institutional capital rotated out of everything denominated in risk. Then the narrative flipped. The G7 signaled a coordinated emergency reserve release. Brent pulled back from $118. And now Trump's very complete comments have triggered the sharpest single-session oil sell-off since the war began. Why markets are treating words as data markets are not typically this responsive to a single interview. But Trump's statement carried specific operational claims, not vague optimism. He said Iran has lost its navy, its air force, and its communications infrastructure. If even partially true, that describes a military whose capacity to threaten Hormuz shipping has been degraded to the point where reopening the strait becomes a logistics problem rather than a military one. The reaction was immediate across every asset class. South Korea's KOSPI, which triggered a circuit breaker just days ago, opened more than 5% higher. Japan's Nikkei 225 jumped 1.66%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 1.56%. Australia's ASX 200 gained 1.35%. Travel stocks led the recovery in Asia, with Air China up nearly 3% and Singapore Airlines gaining 1.54%. For crypto, the move was smaller but directionally clear. Bitcoin has outperformed gold since the day before the strikes began, gaining more than 5% compared to gold's 3% decline over the same period. Joshua Lim, global co-head of markets at Falcon X, attributed the price resilience to persistent buying from digital asset treasuries and companies like Strategy, which purchased another $1.3 billion in BTC at prices below its own cost basis during the conflict. The Hormuz problem has not gone away. The relief rally has a structural vulnerability. As of March 9th, shipping through the Strait of Hormuz had dropped 95% since the war began, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. Just 55 transits were recorded in the first 9 days of March, compared to 160 the previous week. Iraq's southern oil production has fallen 70%, from 4.3 million barrels per day to 1.3 million. Kuwait cut production preemptively. Saudi, Qatari, Bahraini, and Kuwaiti refineries have all reported strikes attributed to Iran. Iran's response to Trump's comments was blunt. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi told NBC's Meet the Press that Iran must continue fighting for the sake of our people. The country named Mojtaba Khamenei, son of the late Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, as its new religious and political authority, signaling continuity rather than capitulation. Homayoun Falakshahi, lead crude research analyst at Caterpillar, warned that oil could still reach $150 per barrel by the end of March if Hormuz traffic does not resume. The U.S. average gas price has already climbed 16% in a week to $3.45 per gallon, according to ADLA. Goldman Sachs raised its 2026 inflation forecast, warning it could snap back to 3% if oil stays elevated. What this means for crypto holders and card users. The relief rally in Bitcoin is real but fragile. The Federal Reserve's March rate cut was already a long shot before the war, with CME FedWatch showing just 2.4% probability. Elevated oil keeps the reinflation trade alive, which means higher for longer rates and continued headwinds for risk assets, including crypto. For holders using crypto cards to spend, the oil spike has a second-order effect. Gasoline purchases at the pump are pre-authorization transactions, and prepaid crypto cards frequently get declined at gas stations because of how pre-auth holds work. With gas prices climbing, the dollar amount of those holds is rising too, increasing the chance of failed transactions for anyone loading a crypto card with just enough to fill up. On the positive side, Bitcoin's 5% outperformance versus gold since the strikes began is feeding a narrative that BTC functions as a geopolitical hedge, at least when the initial shock subsides. The $9 billion in ETF outflows over the prior 4 months appear to be slowing. If oil continues to retreat toward $80, the rate cut timeline could compress again, which would be broadly positive for digital assets. Stablecoin users are in a different position entirely. USDC recently flipped Tether in transfer volume, hitting a record $1.8 trillion in monthly transactions. Wartime capital flight, particularly from the Middle East, has accelerated stablecoin adoption as a dollar access tool in regions where banking rails are disrupted. The broader macro setup after day 10. The Iran war has compressed what would normally be months of macro repricing into 10 days. Oil went from $80 to $119 and back to $89. Bitcoin went from $67,000 to $63,000 to $69,500. The KOSPI fell 7% and recovered 5%. Each of these moves would be a standalone story in a normal market. Stacked together, they reveal how thin liquidity conditions are across every asset class. Three variables will determine what happens next. First, whether Hormuz shipping resumes. The Strait's 95% traffic reduction is the single largest supply disruption since the 1990 Gulf War, and no amount of strategic reserve releases can fully offset it if it continues. Second, whether Iran's new leadership opens a channel for negotiation or doubles down. Araghchi's public rejection of a ceasefire is not encouraging, but back-channel diplomacy does not happen on television. Third, whether Trump's very complete characterization holds up against operational reality on the ground. 7 U.S. service members have been killed in combat. More than 1,200 Iranians are dead, according to the Iranian Red Crescent, and the conflict's actual end state remains undefined. For Bitcoin, the test is whether the $69,000 $71,000 range can hold without another geopolitical shock. ETF inflows returned at $1.45 billion over 5 days in early March, and institutional buyers like Strategy have been adding throughout the drawdown. If oil settles below $90 and stays there, the worst of the war premium may already be priced out. If it does not, the $150 oil scenario that Kapler's Falak Shahi outlined would send Bitcoin back toward its February lows, push gas prices past $4 nationally, and force the Fed to shelve rate cuts for the rest of 2026.